Some of you heard about us talk about the ministry we used to have in Millington with the military. And we saw literally thousands of men be saved over that period of time. And one of those men that was part of that ministry there and helped us in the ministry, actually, I think he lived, Ben's his name. He doesn't like to be called Al, so don't call him Al just because I do. You call him Ben. Ben means son of, and that's all. Okay, he's just the son of. Ben, didn't you live with us for a while?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, and he helped me on a house that I built. How many years ago was that?
Way too many for us to tell.
Huh?
Too many ago for us to tell.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he was a
Your
little...
Your beard had color.
My beard had color, yeah. He was a little bitty guy back then. And it was before he got married, in fact. And I didn't think he'd ever get married. He was just too agitated to get married. I didn't think anybody'd want him. And he used to help me also in the shop where we'd make stuff, and he worked for me a while. And then in the ministry, he was one of the vital fellows there that witnessed to the other guys and picked them up and brought them here and there and shuffled them around. And he was just a real good family friend. In fact, my boys, when they were growing up, well, 3, 4, 5 years old, they can remember Ben being around. They wouldn't remember by that name. And he spent a lot of time with them, so he was a good friend. Sort of helped raise the boys there for a little while, I guess. Swam in a pond with the kids and just a little bit of everything. Now, he's a bit crazy, though. Well, I remember one time I used to sell paintings at the Raleigh Springs Mall. And we had this kiosk there. And so Al was helping us sell the paintings. And it came Christmas Eve, and the place began to thin out, and we'd brought in about $50,000, $60,000 for that past 4 weeks selling paintings. And somebody had come by with some little wooden guns about like that, little cutout on equipment of some sort, and had a couple clothespins on it, and had some big old rubber bands that you tie to it, and you hit those rubber bands and shoot with it. So Al climbed up on top of our kiosk and got one of those rubber band guns and started shooting the customers coming by. I mean, can you, right in the mall, and some of them be some little fat lady come down there, and boy, he'd pop her on you know what with that rubber band gun. And then,
in good Christian love.
And then he would duck, and they'd think I did it. Now, the arm wrestling?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what. He was, we were sitting there in the mall and had this counter display case, and back then I was younger and stronger than I am now, obviously, and I was kind of known for arm wrestling and beating a lot of different military guys, and so, in fact, I'd never been beaten by any of them, and I'd been painting all day long. I was tired and sitting there painting away while people were watching, and this muscle guy comes to there. Got one of those muscle shirts on, got big old arms like my legs or something. Arms were 2.5 times the size of mine. Mine have always been kind of skinny, but they're working arms, you know. This guy's one of those weightlifters. And so Al runs up to him and says, "See that guy right to those skinny arms? He can beat you arm wrestling."
He'd beaten everybody else, I mean.
And the guy said, "No, he can't." And so I just ignored it and kept painting, you know. "Yeah, he can put you down in 1 minute. 1 minute he'll have you down." "No, no way." And then this big guy has a little bitty buddy with him, you know, a little mentor, the one he's mentoring. And he says, "No, he can't beat him. He can't beat him. He can't beat him." Al says, "Yes, he can. Yes, he can." So you got these two little guys, you know.
Anybody over 5'8" is a genetic mutant. I might add that right now.
And so, and finally that guy walks up. He's ready for it, you know. And there was a crowd of people around now. And
sales were going up.
I just couldn't resist. So I got up to the counter there and I put my arm up there. And I was kind of fogged out. You know, I really wasn't pumped up yet. And got up there with that big old arm. And he puts me down right about here real quick. And then he keeps going. And so I started struggling. Now he got me down further and further.
And Deb's going, "Come on, Dad, come on, Dad, come on, Dad."
So Deb was in the back. And he had me down to where I was about an inch and a half from on the deck like this. And Deb walks out of the back and she says, she didn't know what was going on, you know, she saw it. She said, "Oh no, you can't let him beat you." Uh-oh, man, that pumped me up. My adrenaline started flowing for the first time during that contest. And then I looked out there and I saw an old lady with a big bag of Christmas presents like this, and she's doing this. I got tickled like the lost it all then. So my wife came over and she joined Al jumping up and down. "Don't let him beat you, don't let him beat you." And so, you know, it'd been 4 or 5 minutes by then. It's been a long time. And so I started putting the gas to it. And slowly I worked him up. I got him up to the middle like this. I could see his face. He couldn't believe this was happening. I was having fun now. I worked him down and slammed him on the deck like that.
Well, you probably want me to just offer just a short story.
No, I'm the storyteller.
No, you're a good storyteller.
You hadn't cleared anything with me. What are you going to tell?
It's clear.
Okay, it's clear.
Okay. So, Mark may have mentioned that he thought because of my advanced stature that I would never marry. And my wife asked me to grow this beard to cover it up. But you know, I had told this woman that I wanted to the Lord. I said, you know, I really want to take you home to meet Mike and Debbie. We were living up Upper East Tennessee, and they were still down in Memphis. And I kept, you know, telling her, "Yeah, well, honey, this is the greatest Bible teacher since Jesus." And his wife, I mean, she is so wonderful. You just never think that she would marry him, you know. And she didn't say anything like kind of like us. She didn't offer that. But you know, the truth of the matter is that Mike did think that I would never marry anything, you know, short of really ugly. But I knew that I wanted children, and I knew that I didn't want them to look like me, so I had to upgrade on the other side. And so the day comes, and I had a lot more energy back then, and I decided, you know, we'd get up around 3:30 or so. You know, I slept in a little bit, and my wife wasn't raised that way, but we got in the car along by 4 o'clock, and I was already thinking, come on. So we get on the road, and we drive 500 miles over there to Memphis, and Mike he's working over on the patio there, and he comes up to the car right as we pull in, and he leans down and he looks at my wife and he looks at Debbie and he looks at my wife and he goes, "Hi." She goes, "Hello." And he goes, looks at Debbie and he says, "Huh, she can talk." And he looks at her and he goes, and she backed off. And he looks at Debbie and he goes, "And she can see too." And he looks at her and he goes, do you have a brother like really slow in a retard home or anything?" And she goes, "No." And he stands up. He looks at Debbie. He says, "I don't understand it." He turns around and walks away. And now this woman's been married to me for 6 weeks. She turns and looks at me and she goes, "That's the best Bible teacher since Jesus." That's my buddy.
He leaves in a song out. Huh?